because I have the Lord. I have peace. And part of having spiritual discipline is recognizing what the Lord does in your life, even when things don't feel good, is recognizing what he has done. I'm not talking about a superficial peace. I'm talking about truly the peace that surpasses all understanding, like this internal peace. I'm not sacrificing that for anybody.
Hey, you guys, welcome to In Totality, a place where we celebrate authenticity and openness. We're here for those who are willing to explore, those who embrace imperfections, and for those with open hearts and minds. I'm excited to embark on this journey with you, and while I can't predict every twist and turn, I'm certain that God will be by our side with every step of obedience. Welcome to In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to In Totality. I'm your host, Megan Ashley. I'm super excited that you're here today. I'm so blessed and honored that you have decided to join yet another podcast. Do me a favor, before we get started, make sure you subscribe to this YouTube channel. Make sure that you subscribe to my Patreon if you are not already subscribed. We have an amazing village community. I call them the village community because I believe in a village and a tight-knit community. And yeah, we're called The Village, and it's an exclusive content. You get the podcast before it comes out. You get, like I said, bonus content, exclusive content. The docuseries, the In Totality docuseries is up on Patreon. And yeah, it's just a really amazing community of people coming together, really pursuing the Lord. And yeah, if you're looking for a community of people that are doing that, I'm telling you right now, join the Patreon community. Okay. So make sure you subscribe to the YouTube and subscribe to Patreon. And if you're already subscribed to both, let me just say that I am so thankful for you. I am so thankful that you're rocking with me, that you're in this journey with me. And I pray that as I continue to be vulnerable and as transparent as possible, as honest as possible on this platform, I pray that it blesses you and that it draws you closer to the Lord. That's my purpose and intent for this podcast and for the In Totality brand. So I just wanted to say thank you guys, and I love you guys. And yeah, I can't really say what's been up with my life. I've been a mom and, you know, taking care of the kiddos and just life stuff. But recently I have been in a full, I guess, lesson on spiritual discipline. And I feel like the Lord has been kind and gracious in the way that he's allowing me to experience what true spiritual discipline is like. And so I wrote down my notebook. I wish I would be a little bit more tech savvy. I wish I would just literally type everything out like on my phone in my notes, but I am still, I guess, kind of old school in that way. I love to actually write things down. And if you guys could actually see my notebook, which I pray Jay doesn't show my notebook, it looks like chicken scratch because I like to just write down all of my thoughts and just notes and things. And so as I was kind of studying God's word today and praying and meditating on what I wanted to talk about, I felt very clear that the Lord wanted me to talk about spiritual discipline because it's hard. And I want to be honest with you guys about how hard it is. And it's something that I'm getting, like I said, a first class seat in this lesson right now. And, you know, like I told you guys, I'm going to be honest with you on this platform and as transparent and vulnerable as possible and take you on this journey with me, literally in totality. That's why I have a docuseries on Patreon. That's why I have this podcast. And so I'm talking really low, just so you guys know there's nothing wrong. I'm talking low because my children are asleep. And I'm trying to control a lot of my excitement about this topic. And I realize that most times when I'm talking about stuff and I'm really excited about it, that it sounds like I'm angry. And I'm not. I'm not angry. I just get really, really passionate about the things that I love and the things that the Lord is showing me. So two reasons why I'm kind of more subdued today. Is that the right word, Jay? Subdued? No? I'm not depressed. Amen. Jay said the definition of subdued is quiet, reflective, or depressed. I'm not depressed. Come on, somebody. Okay? Because I could be, but I ain't. And the Lord is good. And you want to know why I'm not depressed? Because I'm spiritually disciplined. Come on, somebody. We're going right into it. Okay? So yeah, I'm a little subdued today, but I'm not depressed. Amen. But yeah, I do have some notes on my phone, but I don't have all of them on my phone. So you guys are going to see me kind of just do this back and forth. And I want to just talk. Let's just talk. Let's just have this conversation. Again, I'm processing this kind of in real time, as I do most of my solo episodes. You guys know that I'm like really bringing you in the journey, on the journey in real time. So I'm kind of still processing this, but I do feel like the Lord had given me a lot of things that I want to share with you guys as far as spiritual discipline. So I know that when we hear discipline, two reactions are going to happen. You're going to hear spiritual discipline and think, you know, some people are going to think discipline is good, right? Structure, being committed to something, being, I don't know, what's the definition of discipline? Can you give it to me? So discipline, by definition, showing a controlled form of behavior or way of working, right? You might fall in two of these categories. One, you really like discipline, right? You love things that are structured. You love to, you know, just a set way of doing things, right? And then there are people who completely hate discipline, right? That want to kind of like this YOLO type of lifestyle. Just do whatever you want. Live by the moment. Be super spontaneous. And I don't think there's anything wrong with spontaneity in the right context. I don't think that there's anything wrong with just having a carefreeness about certain things. I think that everything has its time and everything has its place. But I think sometimes when we think about spiritual discipline, I think we may not know what that is. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know how to have that, how to develop that. We don't know the benefits of it. And we don't know the risk that we take when we're not spiritually disciplined. And I feel like recently in the last, you know, I don't even know how long, for a while now, I feel like I have been on this kind of journey with the Lord really developing and just disciplining me, like really disciplining me in this walk, in this journey. And so I think that, you know, often we can have it in a negative context, in the sense of like discipline sounds like punishment. It sounds like something harsh or sounds like something negative. Or we can look at it the way the Bible looks at it, and the Lord disciplines. I think this is in, I don't know if this is Hebrews. Yeah, this is in Hebrews 12. And I'm going to give you guys a lot of scripture because I think that that's important. I don't want you to think that I'm just pulling all of this out of nowhere. I think that we as Christians need to know our word, right? So I'm going to start doing better with kind of giving more scripture about and in the context of what I'm talking about. But in Hebrews 12, it talks about like a father disciplining their child, right? And so we have to look at that in the same way of our heavenly Father disciplining us, right? So as a parent, I'm going to give you guys an example, and then I'll kind of go into some points that I think might be helpful for you. But I'm going to tell you about a time that I had with Caleb. Caleb, if you guys don't know, or maybe this is your first time listening, Caleb is my middle child. He was diagnosed with autism when he was 2, and he was diagnosed with Fragile X syndrome when he was 3. And I really do thank the Lord for being with me during the time that I was a stay-at-home mom and really just super hands-on with Caleb, because I never felt the urge to treat him like he was different. I really felt led to treat Caleb like he was Jonah or Eli. And I think there is this unique there's a unique balance that you have to have. I'm just sharing out of my experience. I'm not an expert on autism or Fragile X. I'm literally just an expert when it comes to Caleb. But I feel like you have to have this very, you have to have wisdom in discerning the difference between what is behavioral and what is part of their diagnosis, right? And so with Caleb, I noticed as he was, you know, he was two, and when he turned three, he would take his sippy cup or his juice cup or whatever he was drinking. And as soon as he was done, he would throw it down on the floor. And I would take him, like make him pick it up, and I would take him over to the sink. And I would say, put your cup in the sink, right? And so when I would do that, he would put it in the sink, but I would have to walk him over to the sink, and then he would put it in the sink. And so there was one day where I really felt like the Lord was really like, you're like, he had took his cup and he threw it on the floor. And when he threw it on the floor, I felt like the Lord was like, this is going to take time, right? This is going to require your patience, and this is going to require some time. And you know that scripture that says some things come out only by prayer and fasting? Like, it was one of those type of things where it was like, this isn't one of those things where you can just quickly get it done. This is going to take some perseverance, right? And so I'm sitting, Caleb throws his cup on the floor, and I tell Caleb, I'm like, pick up your cup and go put it in the sink, right? And so he picks up the cup, but then he throws it back on the floor. And so I told him again, like, you're not, like, he was trying to move from that area. And I'm like, no, you need to pick up your cup and you need to put it in the sink. And I was talking like, just like that, like very like, Caleb, no, we're going to pick our cup up and we're going to put it in the sink. And he gets upset because I won't let him go on to the next thing without picking his cup up. And so he gets upset and he's crying on the floor, right? And so I get on the floor with him and I'm like, we're not going to get off this floor until you pick up your cup and you go put it in the sink, right? Long story short, Caleb and I ended up sitting on that floor for about an hour and 45 minutes because he refused to pick up the cup. And I refused to let him go do anything else until he picked up the cup. But after about an hour, 45, close maybe to 2 hours probably, of us sitting on the floor, he's upset, I'm upset. You know, he cried, I cried, because I don't want to be on this floor either, right? But what I knew is that Caleb had the ability to put the cup in the sink. I knew he did because I had walked him over to the sink several times and I watched him put it in the sink, right? So in that moment, I was developing a discipline in him, and that discipline was hard for him, right? Because he had to be uncomfortable. He had to be in a position that he didn't want to be in. He had to be obedient and do something that he naturally didn't want to do. And eventually, like I said, after about an hour and hour and 45 minutes or whatever, Caleb picks up the cup. He gets up and I'm like, okay, are you ready to go put the cup in the sink? And he walked over to the kitchen and he put the cup in the sink. And from that day forward, he never threw his cup on the floor again, right? And as I was reflecting on spiritual discipline, I thought back on that moment of Caleb and I sitting on the floor and him having to sit there and cry and be uncomfortable. And I wasn't, as a parent, I hated seeing my child in that position, right? I hated how frustrating that was for him. I hated seeing him cry. I hated it. Still to this day, when I think about it, that, you know, my eyes can kind of water up thinking about how uncomfortable that was for him, right? But I knew he was capable. And I knew, right? I wasn't just looking at the moment of Caleb being, however old he was, maybe three. I wasn't just looking at him as a three-year-old. I was looking at Caleb as a teenager, as a young adult, as a full-grown adult with me not in the picture anymore. And I was trying to develop something in him that could carry him for the rest of his life, right? And so as I was thinking about spiritual discipline, and I'm reading the scriptures and reading in Hebrews where it talks about a father disciplining his child, I thought about that moment, and I thought about all the times that I was Caleb sitting on the floor, not picking up the cup, and how patient the Lord was with me. And not patient because he was just causing me to suffer for no reason, but he was developing character in me. And recently, I have, you know, really experienced what spiritual discipline like really is. And before we get into all the things, I just want to tell you, like, I don't want to put up a facade and make it seem like spiritual discipline is hard. I think that the way that I feel very responsible in all the things that I do on camera, off camera, as far as living for the Lord, I think that, you know, sometimes it can get misconstrued that this is easy for me, that this is just, oh, you know, or it's too good to be true. You can't be this spiritually disciplined. You can't be this committed to the Lord and what he requires. And I really just first want to say that this is not, it's not easy. Just as it wasn't easy for Caleb to sit there for an hour and 45 minutes, right, on a hard kitchen floor and not pick up his cup. And like, that wasn't easy for him and it wasn't easy for me. But in that moment, God was developing something in me and I was developing something in Caleb as well. And so I first want to just be honest with you and say that it's not easy. But what I have experienced on the other side of my discipline, on the other side of my obedience, is much more than the uncomfortable feelings that I go through in that spiritual discipline. Okay. So I just wanted to start off by saying that I wrote this down. Spiritual discipline is aimed to produce spiritual growth and deepen your relationship with the Lord and live according to his will and not yours, right? Talk about a bready go-to meal you don't eat as often as you like because of bread guilt or health concerns or carb fear mongering. Listen, I know carb fear is real, but have you ever noticed that carb-heavy foods are often the ones that we love the most? Hero Bread makes these same delicious favorite free of consequence or compromise. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 gram sugars, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. Some of my favorites are the Hero Seeded Bread and the Hero Flour Tortillas for BLT. Savory breakfast burritos are mouth-watering cheeseburgers. With 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 sugar, high in fiber, this bread is delicious and has a great texture, guys. The seeds are flavorful and the crust is tasty as well. There's something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, and buns. With Hero Bread, you don't have to give up your love for bread. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your orders. So go to hero.co and use code TOTALITY at your checkout. That's TOTALITY at HERO.CO. All right, guys, back to the show. Okay, are you that one friend in the group that loves to treat yourself? It's okay. Honestly, we all do. You know, get a pedicure, opt for the extra 10-minute massage with the green tea-infused lotion, refuse to make coffee at home because the fancy coffee shop is right downstairs. Maybe you opt for extra leg room on the seat on the plane because your vacation starts right now. Well, if you treat yourself to the top options with everything else in life, then why settle when finding a doctor? It is your health after all. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book tens of thousands of top-tier doctors, all with verified patient reviews. Don't settle. Go for the best and find the right doctor for you. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. We're talking about booking appointments with thousands of top-rated patient-reviewed doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for the ones that take your insurance, located near you, and treat almost every and any condition you're searching for. These doctors all have verified reviews from actual real patients, not robots. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments, guys. You can find the doctor you want and book them immediately with just a few app taps. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. I use ZocDoc and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/totality and download the ZocDoc app for free and find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/totality. ZocDoc.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. And so when you, I'm sorry, I'm just looking at my notes. When you are thinking about spiritual discipline, it's not meant to hurt you, right? So when the Lord says, don't do this, like his boundaries, right? Don't do this. When he says that, it's not to hurt you, right? It's not to harm you, but it's to develop character in you. It's to develop a dependency on him and an intimacy with him. And so when you're doing that, when you're allowing the Lord to develop this discipline in you, that knowing that this is to produce character in you so that you do his will, so that you are glorifying him in all the things that you do, right? And so I just want to give you guys some ways to develop your spiritual discipline. The first thing is prayer and fasting. And so the scripture that I have for that is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And that's simple, pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean that you got to like light candles and, you know, put on Yeshua, which I've been playing out lately, but, or, you know, every single time that you pray. I think that praying without ceasing is really just having a mind that is meditating on the things of the Lord and staying in constant conversation with him, right? So as things come up in your day, as things come up in life, you're constantly just in this communication with the Lord, right? And a lot of times we think we have to have this like lavish prayer of like, thou, O Lord, you know, and all of that. And I don't believe that the Lord is requiring that either. I think that he's requiring that we come to him sincerely, wholeheartedly, and just consider him, you know? So for example, I pray throughout the day all the time, even for the little things, right? Lord, please don't let me run into no traffic today. Lord, like help me get through this traffic. Let me get to my destination on time. Or, you know what, Lord, this is really irritating me. God, help me, help my heart, right? So just throughout the day, anytime that I'm experiencing maybe some challenges or anytime I'm experiencing something that might be uncomfortable or anytime I feel like my flesh wants to do something, I'm praying constantly. And when you're praying constantly, you're staying in constant communication with the Lord and you're developing an intimacy with him. And also you are like that prayer time, like taking, I do believe that you can pray throughout the day, right? But also take time in solitude, right? We see that in the Gospels. We see Jesus praying with his disciples, but then we see him take time away from that, from the disciples and praying, just with spending time with just him and his heavenly Father. And so I would encourage you to do the same. And also fasting. Fasting is part of having, you know, a Christian lifestyle. And so I encourage you to fast. Anytime that I have fasted, really fast. And now I used to like fake fast. So I would like any, my old church, they like back in Ohio, we used to have fast, like they would fast a lot, but I would always like fake fast and just fast something that really wasn't hard for me to give up. Like I would fast, like, I'm going to stop eating chicken. It's like, girl, you don't even like chicken that much. Like you can actually do without it actually being hard. But fasting is abstaining from food or something that is very like desirable to your flesh. I would encourage you to fast from food because it's something about that actually killing your flesh. I'm going to tell y'all, we got to do a whole episode one day on when we fasted. And Jay ended up fasting 7 days, no food, 7 days. Jordan and I only lasted 3 days. Jordan, you tried to go. I think Jordan went for like 4 days or something like that. Five? Okay, I only could do three. Jay kept going, and he was like, I think I'm going to keep going. And I was like, I did three and I about passed out. So you can go ahead and do the seven. I said, whatever the Lord is telling you to do, Jay, I am not going to tell you to do nothing else, but whatever the Lord is telling you to do it. But Jay ended up fasting for 7 days. I haven't gotten to that point yet. And I know the Lord is probably going to lay it on my heart to do it now that I said it. But yeah, I would encourage you to fast from food. And so doing that is really like crucifying your flesh and allowing your spirit to be strengthened and allowing the Holy Spirit to really stand up tall inside of you and help you in your weakness, right? And just leaning on the Lord and depending on Him. It's just brought such an intimacy with the Lord that is something I just cannot describe. It has really like, oh man, so many, and it's so crazy too. Like when anytime Jay Jordan and I have fasted, it's always been like something crazy has happened, or like it's right in the middle of like a real trial and a test. And I get like Jordan and I decided to fast this week, and it was just interesting that with all the things happening in life. But I got excited about it. Like when you were like, I think we should fast. And I was like, okay, yeah, like, okay. I think, yeah, for sure. Let's do, like, for sure, let's fast. Yeah. But it's hard when you do, but when you do it, it's so, I'm telling you, the intimacy that I've had with the Lord, it's challenging, but I really do have peace.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I think prayer and fasting, I just want to say, is really, 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 really important in developing spiritual discipline. So make sure that, again, if you guys need scripture for that, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That's just really important. Reading God's word. There's a scripture in Psalms 119. That I thought was really important in pointing to reading God's word and why that's so important for your spiritual growth. Hold on, I'm just going to pull this up really quick. And it says in Psalms 119:11, this scripture had came up to me when, I don't even know what. I think I was just reading Psalms 119, like the whole thing. And verse 11 really stuck out to me because it said, I stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And I think that just stuck out to me so much because it's literally saying like when the word is deposited in your heart, right? Because from the heart flows the issues of life, right? That's what the Bible says. From the heart flows the issues of life. So when we're storing up God's word in our heart and it's written in our heart, right, then it's in us. And so when things happen and challenges happen and opportunities to, you know, dishonor the Lord or to dishonor someone that he loves, when that opportunity comes, we have his word in us, right? And the Holy Spirit helps us, right, and brings up that word. Even if it's not something that we've consciously remembered or like whatever, but the Holy Spirit can come and bring up and help us remembering that word so that we're reminded of what God says so that we don't do the opposite of what he says, right? That's why it's so important that you not only just say that you love God, but you read his word to know him. And again, knowing him really is loving him. Obeying him is loving him. But you have to know his word to know what you're obeying. You have to know his word, right? And so I think that it's really, really important that we know God's word. It also says in Psalms 1 that there's blessings for those, right, who love God's word. So everybody's looking for their next blessing, right? But your next blessing might be contingent upon how much word you know, how much you're obedient to him. So Ho said, amen. All right. I think this next key to spiritual discipline is something that I think people hear and they get misconstrued on what that really means. But worship is very important to your spiritual discipline, right? I think this is Romans 12:1 that I have written down as a key scripture for this. And I'm just going to read that to you guys real quick. Romans 12. Oh, so this is, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, right? So not just singing songs and lifting your hands and all of that. That is important. I love worshiping God in music, right? I love listening to worship music as I'm praying sometimes, not all the time, sometimes. I love listening to worship music as I'm preparing for the podcast, as I'm preparing just for the day. I listen to worship music as I take my children to school. I love listening to worship music. But spiritual discipline is taking it beyond a song and making it a lifestyle. Right? So I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God as my spiritual worship, which means that my life is not my own, that I don't get to just do whatever I feel like doing, that everything in totality, my life in totality is a living sacrifice to Him. So all that I do, all that I am is for Him. And it's for His glory, right? All that I am, all that I have, I do to lift up the name of the Lord. Because His word says that when we lift up Him, right, that He will draw all men to Him. And so my life isn't about me lifting up me. Because lifting me up is only drawing you to me. And I'm just a human, right? I'm just a person, but when I take my life and I completely submit it to the Lord, I present to Him my body as a living sacrifice. Lord, you can have whatever you want to do, you can have it. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want out of me, you can have it. Right? That's presenting my body as a living sacrifice. That way that my life in totality is lifting Him up to draw all men to Him, not draw all men to myself. So let your life be worship, not just your Sunday mornings and not just whenever you put on a worship song, but everything that you do, let it be worship to the Lord. Right. And so the next thing I think is just really important is repentance. I think we, you know, it may sound like repentance may sound like harsh to the world. And I don't know. I just feel like I used to hear repentance all the time and I feel like I don't hear it enough. I feel like we move in like these extremes where it's like that's all we heard is repent, 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 repent. And then we don't hear it at all. Right. But repentance is needed. Right. And the good news is that the Lord says in First John 1:19 is that God is faithful to forgive and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's good news. So every single time if you mess up, you don't have to be condemned. You don't have to feel shame. Because he paid for all of that on the cross. You don't even have to feel those things. What you can do and what you do have the opportunity to do, which is a kindness of the Lord, is repent. And repent doesn't mean I'm sorry. This is part of spiritual development. Repenting doesn't mean I'm sorry. Repenting means that you have acknowledged that something that you have done is completely opposite of what the Lord would want you to do. And you turn away from it, right? You do a 180, not a 360. Sorry is a 360. Repentance is a 180. That means that you see the direction that you're going in and that it's not in the direction of the Lord. And so you stop and you turn. That is repentance. And when you do that, right, and you come to the Lord with a sincere heart, a humbled heart, and you say, Father, I am so sorry. I recognize that I've sinned against you. I recognize that I've dishonored you. And Lord, I'm asking that you forgive me. He is faithful to do so. He said in His word that if we ask for forgiveness, he will be faithful to forgive and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's good news. And so I encourage you that if you feel that you've maybe are living in a way that may is not in the direction that God would want you to live in, I want you to know that you don't have to feel shame for that. You don't have to feel condemned. I pray that you feel convicted, but not condemned. And I pray that you are encouraged to stop and turn and know that your Heavenly Father loves you so much that he's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all righteousness. Right. And so I feel like that's really good news. And that's part of your spiritual development, or I'm sorry, spiritual discipline, is that when you know you've done something, maybe that is unpleasing to the Lord, that every single time you do, you repent. Do you know how many times I feel like I repent throughout the day? Literally. Not, and it's obviously not as much as it probably should have been back some time ago, but I just am very aware. Like being, I guess, growing in my spiritual discipline, I'm just very aware when I have thoughts that are not pleasing to him, when I might have done something that's not pleasing to him. And every time that I pray, I'm repenting because the heart is deceitful. There might be things in my heart that I don't even know that are just not good, right? And so I'm always asking the Lord to create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me, to examine my heart. And if he finds anything in me that is not good, that is not of him, that's unpleasing or dishonoring to him, I ask for forgiveness because I am encouraged that I serve a Lord that is faithful to forgive and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So that's 1 John 1:9. Okay. Another part of spiritual discipline, and this is something I'm really big on. This is something that if you've been following my journey since the moment I have been on a microphone, you know that serving is a really big thing to me. And a big part of spiritual discipline is serving. I am so thankful that I have been surrounded by people, especially as of late, who just really, like, really love serving people. Like, I am so blessed to have Jay and Jordan in my life, and I watch how effortlessly they serve. And not just me, I watch them serve other people. I watch them just find ways to just serve in areas rooms that they're in, situations that they're in. They're just humble people who love to serve. And I really do think that that's a grace and a kindness of the Lord to have people like that in my life. But I know that ever since I was little, that's been something that's just been really big in my life, is to serve. And Mark 10:45 even says that Christ came to serve, not to be served, but to serve. Even Jesus did. He came to serve. And so I think that part of having spiritual discipline is having a consciousness to serve, to find ways to serve. Right? They can be in big ways. They can be in small ways. But I'm always, even at the grocery store, I'm looking for areas to serve. If there's a cart that needs to be put back, right? When I'm shopping, if there's a shirt that fell off a hanger, there's something that's been out of place. You know what was so crazy? Somebody said something a long time ago, because I was talking about that. And somebody, this was probably over a year and a half ago, but somebody was like, that's your intrusive thoughts and your compulsiveness. Like, and I was like, no, it's actually not. It's actually just me wanting to serve. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I see trash on the ground, that's not me being, I don't have OCD. Jordan knows I am a messy person. I like for things to be in order where people are, but like my room can be chaotic sometimes, right? So I'm not OCD by any means, but I just like to serve. And I think that the Lord has given me an awareness that that's what we're called to do, is to serve. And so if that looks like serving in your home, maybe you're a wife, serving your family, serving your husband, serving your kids, right? Serving your home, serving your parents. If you are an employee somewhere, serving at your job, right? If you see that maybe there's a job that everyone is kind of avoiding and not doing, maybe serve there, right? Serving at your church, finding ways to serve there. I just think servanthood is so important because we're called to serve each other, right? We're called to serve each other in relationships. We're called to serve each other in ministry. We're called to serve. And so as you serve, you're developing more of a character that is like Christ, right? And so that scripture is Mark 10:45. So back to serving. I just wanted to add one more thing back to serving. Even in your gifts, right? So the Bible said that the gifts come without repentance. So all of us have been gifted with something, right? And that's not a gift that we earned. It's not a gift that we deserve. It's not a gift that we worked up ourselves. Like some of us, I believe that the Lord has given all of us gifts to do something very unique and special. And so even our spiritual gifts, even the gifts that we are being given. Oh, I'm sorry. So what God has freely given us, we, even in those things, right, we should use them to serve other people and to give glory to the Lord. And so maybe you have a gift of, you know, singing. Not a gift that you really practice. You didn't go take vocal lessons or anything like that. You just have a gift to sing. Use that gift to serve other people and to give glory to the Lord. Maybe you have a gift to be an event coordinator, right? And so you use that gift to serve other people and to give glory to the Lord.
You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I just think that needs to be a priority in our gifts. I'm not saying don't allow your gift to use your gift and monetize off of it. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that we should have a heart posture and a priority to use the gifts that have been freely given to us, right? We didn't pay for it. We didn't earn it, and we don't deserve him, right? But taking that and allowing the Lord to use it for his glory and to serve other people. Another really key point to developing spiritual discipline is surrounding yourself with a community of people that are also submitted to the Lord, right? Jay, can you do me a favor and find the scripture about the council of wise something? Do you remember that scripture? Huh? Yeah, or not wise counsel, but the company of, it's like keeping good company, wise company or something like that. I think that having a community of people that maybe not as spiritually disciplined, but that are striving to be disciplined is really important. You got it? Yes. So Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. And so find people who are literally seeking God's wisdom. The Bible also says that fear of God the fear of the Lord is the key to wisdom or something like that. I forget what scripture that is, but having people who have a reverence of the Lord, that reverence him, that love him, that know him, and that are actively pursuing him. Find a community of people like that. Find a community of friends like that. Find a church that that's important. Is that it? Proverbs 9:10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, Proverbs 9:10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then Proverbs, what, 13? Is that what you said? 13 talks about walking with the wise, right? Keeping in wise company, right? So make sure that you are finding people and pray, because sometimes you don't know where to look for them, right? Where do I find these people? I haven't found a church home yet. I don't go out anymore. It's hard. How do I find these people? I understand that challenge as well. So pray. Lord, your word says, remind the Lord of his word, right? That doesn't return to him void. Remind him of his word and ask, say, God, can you just bring those people into my life? Lord, I know community is important. I know having a community of people is important. Going to church is important. So God, guide me, give me discernment and wisdom in finding that community of people so that I can continue to develop my spiritual discipline. All right. I'm going to go quickly. I'm not going to go into it too much because maybe I'll do more of a deeper like Bible study dive on this with my Patreon community, because I really do feel like this is important. And yeah, I just feel like it's important. But these are some ways that God gives us help with our spiritual discernment. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is our helper, right? The Holy Spirit helps activate the mind of Christ in us. So that Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will, walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. That's Galatians 5:16, right? So the Holy Spirit helps us, right? It helps us not gratify the desires of the flesh. It helps us. So the Holy Spirit is going to help us in, and as long as we're walking with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is going to help us not, you know, take the opportunities that the flesh wants, right? And so that's Galatians 5:16. God's word. So God's word guides us. So if we're trying to learn how to be spiritual, we have to know God's word. So Psalms 119:105. Psalms 119 is just a long, obviously, it's just a long book. You can find a whole lot of stuff in Psalms 119. But Psalms 119:105, that his word guides us. That's how we know. I'm telling you, there is probably not one issue of life that you can't find something in the Bible to reference to. And so his word guides us. That's going to help you when it comes to spiritual discipline. Prayer, church community, like I said, right? All of those things. So the Holy Spirit who helps us, who is our helper, God's word, which guides us, right? Guides us in all of our ways. Prayer, which is necessary, right? And community. So church and community. Those are ways to, if you're looking to develop spiritual discipline and you're like, I really want to have intimacy with the Lord, I really want to be disciplined in my faith, those are the things that I would really hone in on and focus in on and ask the Lord to help you, right? These are the benefits. I want to share with you just for a minute the benefits of living a spiritual life and living a life that is spiritually disciplined. Man, this first one is like, my God, the peace. Okay. The peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The peace that surpasses all understanding. I used to hear that scripture a lot growing up, and I would just be like, okay, it sounds cool to say. Like, he'd give you the peace that surpasses all understanding, right? Like, when people would go through things, even as I became an adult, like when people would go through things and like people would lose a loved one or lose a job or something tragic happened, and I would try to encourage people, I would always say that I pray that the Lord gives you the peace that surpasses all understanding. But I ain't never really, I didn't really know what that meant, right? Until really like going through everything last year and this year. It is a real thing to have joy. And when it says the peace that, And when it says the peace that surpasses all understanding, I understood what that meant because everything on the outside was still hell and chaotic and hurtful and tragic and frustrating. But the closer I got with the Lord, and the closer I developed the more I developed an intimacy with him, the more I read his word, I had peace. Now, I did not like what I was seeing, right? But there was a peace on the inside of me that I didn't feel chaotic. I didn't feel anxious, right? I had peace. It wasn't until last year that I think, and Jordan can correct me if I'm wrong, but I wasn't sleeping well. I was up a lot. Like there would be days where there would be times where I would go 2 to 3 days without sleeping. I was in like the times where I was really going through things and things were hard and frustrating and hurtful. I really had peace. Like even now to this day, I think maybe people get confused because they see like my content or they see the things that I post or maybe I believe that people have plenty of opinions about me, but I think that they think that things are easy for me or that nothing happens in my life, but I really just have peace. Like I really truly believe that the Lord is like he is God and he's sovereign and good and really in control of things. And so the more that I read his word, the more I develop an intimacy with him, I really do have peace. Now, doesn't mean things don't hurt my feelings. I still cry about things. I still get frustrated. There's still all of those opportunities, right? But when I say I really understand and know Philippians 4:7 to be true is because my life was hell last year, yet I had peace. Yet I didn't have a suicidal thought, right? Going from the fall into this year, I haven't had one thought, haven't had one temptation to do anything harmful to myself. I've been able to sleep at night. That's the peace that surpasses understanding. Because if you look at my life and you look at what I've been through, there ain't no way I should have peace. Even up to this week, stuff that I've had to experience. Ain't no way anybody without the Lord would have peace in this situation. But because I have the Lord, I have peace. And part of having spiritual discipline is recognizing what the Lord does in your life, right? Even when things don't feel good, is recognizing what he has done and recognizing the peace that he has given you. And it's not worth sacrifice. There is nothing worth. I'm not sacrificing that for anybody. Right. You know, people be like, my peace. I'm not talking about a superficial peace. I'm talking about truly the peace that surpasses all understanding, like this internal peace that when the cameras aren't on, when no one is around, I have peace. I'm not chaotic in my mind. Man, I could shout and run across this house. The fact that my mind has been rested, my mind is at rest. He has kept my thoughts and kept my mind. Y'all don't understand. I used to think so much I could not sleep. And I can't point it to, y'all know me. I think you need to consult your doctor with everything. Get a therapist, get a doctor that knows what's going on with you and do whatever you need to do to make sure that you're good, right? If that means medication, if that means therapy, if that means walking outside and taking 5 deep breaths, whatever you got to do, right? Do those things. But I'm telling you, I tried everything and nothing changed my life the way an intimacy with the Lord has changed my life. all of these things that I'm telling you guys as far as spiritual discipline and reading your word and praying and fasting and repenting and getting in a community of people that know the Lord and love the Lord and pursuing him. Without those things, I would not have a peaceful mind. I would not have the peace that surpasses all understanding. So anytime that I hear Philippians 4:7, it excites me and I get really passionate. Remember, I said I wasn't going to get super passionate this episode, but that just excites me because now my children get to have a mom that is present, not just physically, but I'm present. I can think clear because I've rested at night. The Lord has kept my mind. Okay. Now, if I'm going to preach about anything, I'm going to preach about that. All right? My God. All right. Another benefit to having a spiritually disciplined life is the joy. And you know the song that keeps coming in my head? I still have joy in chaos, not the peace that makes no sense. That song really just keeps coming up in my mind because I really do believe that. Like, I have joy. My God. I know Jay's thinking about it right now. He want to scream it. Consider it joy. James 1. I know he wants to scream it from the god dang rooftop. But you know what, Jay? I already had it written down. James 1:2. And I just want to read this to you guys because it's such a powerful scripture. And it's something that I know Jay really loves. And anytime that, you know, we're talking about that, he's like, hey, consider, just consider. Okay. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials and various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let the steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My God. So having spiritual, because this ain't a step to have joy. This is when you steps to be spiritually disciplined. And in that spiritual discipline, you have a joy. It produces a joy in you. So that way, when trials come and tribulations come and persecution comes and accusations come and anything that the enemy tries to throw at you comes, you consider it joy. Knowing that in that, you will lack nothing. That is good news. Okay? That's James 1:2. You also get guidance. Psalms 32:8. God will guide us in the way that we should go and will look out for us. That's also good news. Is that you, spiritual discipline is very hard, but in that, you're getting guidance, you're getting peace, you're getting joy, right? You're developing more of an intimacy with the Lord. These are all good things. The Bible says in Psalms 84:11 that he withholds no good thing from us. So even in your spiritual discipline, he's not withholding anything good from you. It's hard. So when the Lord says you can't go do that, you can't have sex with that boy, you cannot go drink and go to the club this weekend, you can't do X, Y, and Z. I don't want you doing that business opportunity. I don't want you going on that vacation. I don't want you. You're looking at it like disciplining, like he's punishing you, but he's developing character in you. And his word says that he withholds no good thing from you. So if he's withholding something from you, then it must not be good for you. Okay? Trust him. And I literally am only here. I am here as a living witness. Truly. I wish some of the things that I've experienced, even in the last year, I could really share. But just know that when you see a certain type of posture in me, a certain type of way that I go about doing things, know that that is my, I feel truly my duty and responsibility to the Lord, because what he has rescued me from, he deserves every ounce of my discipline. He deserves every ounce of my obedience. The fact that I don't have any harmful thoughts to harm myself, I don't have thoughts to end my life. I can sleep at night. My children are reading their word and we're having conversations about the Lord, I'm watching Jay and Jordan develop more intimacy with the Lord and truly become disciples, you think for 2 seconds that I am going to honor or dishonor the Lord by entertaining an opportunity that gratifies my flesh after all that he's done for me? I can't help myself because I love him. I just can't help but to obey him and have a heart that at least wants to obey him. I'm not perfect at it. I struggle with stuff just like anybody else, right? But I'm telling you, when he really rescues you, when you really see who he is and all that he's done, and you allow this spiritual discipline to develop and this intimacy with the Lord to develop, and you see all that he's rescued you from, you won't be able to help it. I'm telling you. Okay. Another benefit, the last two that I want to share with you guys, is purpose and answered prayers. So purpose, Ephesians 2:10, we are created for good works. That's what, if you're trying to figure out what my purpose is, what's my purpose? Your purpose is to do some good work for the Lord. That's what you were created to do. That is your purpose. If you're trying to figure out what you were created to do, what is my purpose? Because I know that's a big thing. Everybody wants to know what their purpose is. What's my purpose? You were created. The Bible says that when he created you for good works, right? So that's Ephesians 2. Answered prayers. Now, I'm not saying that everything that you ask for, I'm going to give you John 15:17, because it says when you abide in him, he will abide in us and he will, let me read it verbatim because you know I'll be paraphrasing. So answered prayers, John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, right? And then if you go further down to mid 16, so John 15:6, verse 16, kind of midway through that it says that whatever you ask in the Father's name, he will give it to you. Okay, so he's not saying, Lord, I want a BMW. And then he's just going to give you a BMW, right? As you develop spiritual discipline and as you literally ask the Lord to give you a heart that loves what he loves, hates what he hates, and wants to, you have a heart that wants to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, right? Your prayers will start to align with his will. So you're not asking for things that are not aligned with God's will. There ain't nothing in here about a BMW, y'all. There's nothing wrong with desiring that, right? If you want a BMW, sure, work hard and get one, right? But when we're praying to the Lord, we're praying things that are aligned with his will. And those are the answered prayers that is guaranteed and promised to you. Okay? So really quickly, benefits to living a spiritual life: peace, joy, guidance, purpose, and answered prayers. Those are the benefits to having a spiritually disciplined life. I know I gave you guys a lot. This might be one of those episodes you might have to watch back, take some notes down. But I just wanted to, again, just chat with you guys and just talk to you as plain as possible, because I really do feel like the Lord is really just giving me a lesson in that right now, and being disciplined in loving him, being obedient to his word, being obedient to his commandments. And I want you to know that I don't do this out of my own strength. Anything that you see me doing, how you see me talk in interviews or even on this podcast or anything, how I just respond to things, just know that it's not always easy, right? But I really do believe when the Lord said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And I have asked and prayed, and I pray every day and ask the Lord every day to give me a heart that loves him. And the more I have prayed that, the more I have had peace, the more I have had joy, and the more it is not easier, but the more my heart is postured to be obedient towards him, right? So being spiritually disciplined means that I don't get to just wear what I want to wear. I don't get to just say what I want to say. I don't get to just respond how I want to respond. I don't get to just dishonor whoever I want to dishonor. I don't get to do that. I get to be obedient to the Lord. Spiritually disciplined means that I get to love those who persecute me. I get to pray for those who don't love me. I get to, you know, not do things that is contrary to God's word. That means that I actually consider the Lord in all of my ways, right? In the way of me being a mom and a friend and a podcast host and a employer and all the things. I consider him in all my ways. And that's what has developed a spiritual discipline. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has been developing this in me for some time now, because it makes this life of living bold and uncompromised more natural. Not easy, but it's more natural for me to do it more so now. So yeah, I hope this episode helps you guys. I do want to give you a journal prompt because I just want to get better at doing that, because I love journaling and I think journaling is important. It's been a huge benefit to my life. But what has spiritual discipline looked like for you lately? Are there ways that you want to be better and growing in being spiritually disciplined? So yeah, go back through this episode and really just take inventory. Y'all know I'm big on that. I could do a journal prompt every week telling you just to take inventory of your heart. But I want you to take inventory of your spiritual discipline and see maybe areas where the Lord might want to refine some of those things and make you a little bit more disciplined. And some areas maybe where you're like, you know what? I've been doing pretty good with that. There ain't nothing wrong with being like, hey, you know, the Lord has really been good to me and helping me be more disciplined. The Holy Spirit has been helping me. So yeah, I want you to take inventory of that. What does being spiritually disciplined look like for you? And what are some ways that you could be better at being spiritually disciplined? Make sure that you guys subscribe to the YouTube channel. And right now, please go do that right now. And go subscribe to Patreon. We are literally, if I don't know when this episode will come out, but we are getting ready to start The Awe of God by John Bevere. And so we are going to be walking through this. We're going to be taking our time with this. I'm not going to try to rush this in 4 weeks. I told you my Patreon community, The Village, shout out to everybody a part of The Village. I told them that we would do a book a quarter. And so we're kind of in the, is this the middle of the second quarter? We're at the beginning of the second quarter. Okay, great. So we're at the beginning of the second quarter. So we did Crazy Love for the first quarter. Now we're going to do All of God. And then we'll do a book a quarter. And we're going to take our time with this. I love the way John Bevere wrote this book. And if you don't know who John Bevere is, make sure you check out episode, let me see what episode it is. Episode 19 is an episode that I had the honor of interviewing John Bevere, who literally is one of my heroes in the faith. And so we're going to be going through his book. And I love the way he did it because it's broken down in like weeks. So each chapter is it a week or a day? Yeah, I think it's a week. Each chapter is a week, I think. Let me check. Oh, this is Jay's book. No, it's like week one, day two, week one, day three. So it's broken down into days, which I like, and weeks. And so I think that will help us kind of get through it. So if you're interested, like I said, part of spiritual discipline is having a community. If that's something that maybe you're lacking as you're taking inventory in your journal prompt of, okay, am I putting myself in a position to have spiritual discipline? If community is something that you're missing, I want you to head over to Patreon right now, www.patreon.com/MeganAshley. Subscribe to the Patreon. Like I said, you're going to get bonus content. You're going to get exclusive episodes, you're going to get the docuseries, you'll get to see more of kind of how I live my life and my kids and Jay, Jordan, and I, and traveling and all the things. And then this our book club. Our book club is so, so, so cool and so special. And so, like I said, we're going to be doing the Awe of God, breaking it down each week. And we'll go, I think there's like 6 weeks in here. And so we'll go until the end of this quarter. And then next quarter, we'll start a new book. But I really wanted to take our time with this. And so I would love if you joined the Patreon and joined the Village community and go through this book. If you don't have this book, please go right now to my Amazon storefront and get you this book. I also have The Beta Satan. I have Upon Waking by Jackie Hill Perry. That's on there. So many books that I love, and my the type of Bible that I read, the study Bibles that I use, all that stuff is on my Amazon storefront. So make sure you check that out. And yeah, I think that's all I got for you guys. I love you. I pray that you're encouraged by this. If you are convicted, I'm okay with conviction. I don't want you to feel condemned, because that's not the heart that I'm coming in. I want you to feel encouraged and loved. And I pray that you heard a lot of good news in this. The Lord is for you, and He loves you, and He wants you in totality. So I'll see you guys next week.
Hey, you guys, before you go, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for your love and support. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and share it with a friend or a family member. If you could do me one huge favor, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a heartfelt review. It helps others just like you discover the podcast. You guys, let's continue to spread the inspiration. For more about me and the podcast, visit www.themeganashley.com. Until next time, stay encouraged that you are so valued and so loved.